This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
When you talk about that expression, somebody owes me, is that true with the Lord? Would you believe I've actually had people tell me right to my face, God owes me? Were they serious? Dead serious. Did they mean it? Absolutely meant it. God owes me. And it's one of the most shocking statements for anyone to make, because you're going to go home with the message today from the Gospel of Luke that God doesn't owe anybody anything. He doesn't owe anyone anything. Everything that we have from God is grace, it's mercy, it's simply a gift from His hand. And we need to remember that and to be reminded of that. So we're going to study a passage of Scripture that not only is controversial, get this, most of the commentaries don't give it much time. I actually have commentaries in my office that totally ignore it. They go from verse 6 of chapter 17 and they jump to verse 11. They don't even talk about it. Other commentaries give it a couple of lines or a paragraph, but we're going to give it a message. Because Jesus said these words for a reason. It's in Luke, the 17th chapter, exactly where I left off last week. Jesus is speaking, and he says this in verse 7. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy or unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty. I think before we begin, you need to understand the system of the day, a system that was not endorsed by Jesus Christ, by the way. But it was the system nonetheless. People owned people. People didn't work for people. People owned people. Some of you say, well, I feel like people own me at the company. You may feel that, but people literally did that. And there was a system of master and servant that we don't appreciate today in our culture. We really don't. We don't have a sense of that, of being owned by people where you didn't do anything without permission. You worked for the master all day, and then you worked some more into the night, and you were at their beck and call. You did whatever they asked you to do. And that's the system that Jesus' ministry was in. May I tell you a little secret? I can't prove this, but I have a feeling that this passage was directed particularly at a group of people known as the Pharisees. Who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were a religious sect in the Jewish system who were thought of themselves very highly. They thought they were the creme de la creme. They thought they were the spiritual of the spiritual. They had a very self-important attitude about themselves and self-exaggerated, and they thought of themselves as God's special people among God's special people. And I think, personally, these words were directed at the Pharisees who thought of themselves more highly than other people. And Jesus was saying, you're a servant. You're a servant. I want to share with you a quote. I don't usually do this where I quote somebody else directly like a commentator, but it's so good. I want to read to you from Paul Butler's commentary on the Gospel of Luke. God owns us outright. We are His by right of creation. We are doubly His by redemptive grace. He doesn't owe us anything. We owe Him everything and more.
And we'll continue with Paul Butler's comment tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org. God bless.
I want to share with you a quote. I don't usually do this where I quote somebody else directly like a commentator, but it's so good. I want to read to you from Paul Butler's commentary on the Gospel of Luke. God owns us outright. We are His by right of creation. We are doubly His by redemptive grace. He doesn't owe us anything. We owe Him everything and more. We must constantly remind ourselves that whatever God cares to give us is up to Him. There's nothing coming to us of good which we deserve. We can take no credit for our world, our wisdom, our opportunities. We are indebted to Him for everything. Even our expressions of thanks to Him add to our indebtedness to Him, because even our thanks is borrowed. When we have this perspective, work in His vineyard is welcomed as a privilege, not as a right. What I'd like to do today is to share with you three areas where I think people think that God owes them. And you say, why do you think that? Because people have told me. I've actually, somewhere along the line in my years in the ministry, people have said, this is why God owes me. Let's bring up the first one. I've had people tell me that they think God owes them because, number one, faithfulness in church attendance. People don't wear them anymore. Do you remember the old church attendance pin where you would add a year underneath? And I can honestly remember years ago a man who had, it was down to his waist, the years that were added to his pin, and every Sunday he wore that. Nothing wrong with that. That's why they made them back then, for people to wear them. But no one can go to the Lord and say, you owe me because of my faithful church attendance. And I've actually, again, had people tell me that God owes me. I'm here every Sunday. God owes me. Let me give you an example that helps me, at least, to understand how ludicrous that is. Those of you that have had children or have children, let's talk about a teenager for a moment. Let's suppose you had a 16, 17-year-old come to you and say, Mom or Dad, you owe me. I want to tell you why. I have never missed a meal at this house in 10 years. I have faithfully sat at this table, and I have eaten every meal, and during the dinner time, I've eaten every breakfast, and I try to eat here every lunch that I can. You would say, wait a minute, let me get this straight. We owe you because you have been faithful at this table? And you begin to get the point. We have what we call the Lord's table. It's a privilege to meet around this table. You don't come to take communion so you can earn anything from the Lord. You come to thank Him for what He's done. God, thank you for the cross. Thank you for forgiveness, and thank you for the mercy that is shown to me, a sinner. That's why we come. And so, like the teenager's telling his parents or her parents, you owe me because I've never missed a meal. No one can come to the Lord and say, you owe me because I've never missed a Sunday in 27 years. That's great. It's wonderful. It's a witness to other people. We're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as Hebrews says, as some are in the habit of doing. We're admonished to be here. But that's not why we do it, to earn anything from the Lord. There's no merit or earning salvation because of faithfulness in attendance. Let's bring up a second one. I think some people have told me that there's because of the sacrifice and service. I have sacrificed in service.
Well, by chance, is any of this resonating with you? It is with me. We tend to think of what we do for the Lord, what we do routinely for the Lord, is something that scores points with the Lord, and it does nothing other than show our gratitude toward Him. Let's continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
No one, in my opinion, sacrificed more, at least in recent history or in the last 100 years, 200 years, than David Livingstone. David Livingstone served in Africa. He was from England. So much of his life was poured into what happened in Africa. Many of you know this story, that his body was buried in England, but his heart literally was buried in Africa. They buried his heart in Africa because that's where his heart was. If anybody could say, God owes me because of sacrifice and service, it would be him. But I want you to listen to what he said. What some people call sacrifice, I call privilege. What some people call sacrifice, I call privilege. Psalm 116 says, what can I render to the Lord for all that He's done for me? I think that's the King James phraseology. What can I render? What can I give to the Lord? And somehow the Lord says, we're even. Nothing. There is nothing that you and I can give to the Lord to merit what He's done for us. But Clovis Chapel said where he grew up in Arkansas, there were a lot of natural springs. there was a spring on his farm. And for years, somebody generations earlier had put a metal cup, a tin cup with on a string on a tree next to this spring. And Clovis Chapel said he can remember hundreds of times going to this spring, taking the tin cup that's there, dipping it in the spring or letting the water fill into the cup and drinking that fresh spring water that he said was matchless. There wasn't water anywhere as good as the spring water. Clovis Chapel said one day he came to the spring. And guess what happened? Someone had stolen the cup. Clovis Chapel said this, great illustrator of Scripture. Clovis Chapel said, I didn't throw up my hands and say, I will never be able to drink from this spring again. I will never be able to enjoy this water again. What did he do? Somebody say it. He got another cup. Very logical thing. He went and got another cup and tied it to the tree. And then Clovis Chapel, as only he could do, would say, you and I are the cups in the service of the King. God can get another cup. You are and I am. We're just the cups. We're the vessels that hold the truth. We're the vessels that carry the message. But when I hear people say this church would fall apart without me, and I've heard that in years past, well, this church revolves around what I give or what I do. God can get another cup. Thank you. He can get another cup. And that is a great reminder, a simple story to remind us that no one can claim that God owes me for sacrifice and service, because nothing we can do can match the sacrifice of the cross. You see, if anybody wants to go toe-to-toe with the Lord and say, well, I've sacrificed this and I sacrificed this, the God the Father would say, look at the cross. Can you match that? Can you match dying for the world? Can you match laying down your life, not just for your friends, but for the people that hated you? Can you match dying for the sins of the entire world, not just for your own sins, not just for somebody else's sins, but for the sins of the whole world? And you're totally innocent. You're blameless. Until we can match that, no one can claim God owes me because of sacrifice and service. There's one more area I want to talk about. It's called generosity and giving.
Well, my guess is there are people, there are ministers, there are leaders in churches listening to this message who have thought of themselves as the irreplaceable cup. We're all cups that can be replaced. You are, and so am I. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Sometimes people can use that as leverage that God owes me. I want to give you a dramatic story. I can't tell you the name of this church because there are people here that probably know people. It's a church in the Midwest. I can't tell you the name of this church because these messages air on the radio and somebody might hear it, but it's a true story. And without identifying the church, I'm going to tell you the story. In a Midwestern church that's not too many miles from here, a church board meeting was taking place and there was a hot issue being debated. I don't even know what the issue was. And somebody spoke up and said, listen, let's just stop the arguing. I'm the person that gives the most money to this church. So I'm just going to make the call and say, this is the way it is. I give the most money, so therefore I'm calling in my chip, so to speak. Can you imagine the drama and the shock when another person on the board said, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we have the church treasurer right now write this person a check for everything he's given to this church. The church treasurer said his whole life flashed in front of him because he said we didn't have that kind of money to give back to him. But it made the point. You can't use money as blackmail in the kingdom of God. You can't or I can't. No one can say to the Lord, you owe me because of what I've given. Psalm 24 says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Do you know what that means in plain English? He owns it all, lock, stock, and barrel. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. No one can say, I've given you so much, Lord, you owe me. Let me give you another humorous example, a hypothetical illustration. Let's suppose the person next to you, that's going to make everybody suspicious, but let's suppose the person next to you slipped into your wallet right now in your purse or in your wallet and took your Visa card or MasterCard. And this afternoon, they went up to the mall. They bought you $2,000 worth of clothes with your credit card. And they came to you with packages wrapped and said, "Look what I have done for you." And you said, "All you gave me was $2,000 worth of debt. That's all you did for me." It's a simple analogy, but it's an analogy, again, that works for me. I can't go to the Lord who owns everything anyway and say, "This is what I'm giving to you. I'm just giving to you what you own anyway." And I think you see the point that no one can use giving and say, "God owes me because of that which I've given to him. He owns it all. He owns it all." Now, out of that, those three lessons there, I want to give you three more take-home points from that. So we could bring up the first thing. What I want you to take home is this. God owes no person anything. That's a given. That's an obvious statement. God owes no person anything. No one can leave here today privately or publicly saying, "God owes me." And maybe you've done that privately. Maybe you've cried before the Lord, and all of us have it, about some prayer request and said, "God, you owe me." And maybe you said it in innocence. Maybe you said it in sincerity. But please remember today, God owes no person anything. Everything is gift. Everything is grace. Everything is mercy in the kingdom of God. Let's bring up a second take-home thought. Everything we have is a gift from his hand. Deuteronomy says that even the ability to earn a living is a gift from God. And then it says why it says that. So no one can boast. Let's bring up a third one very quickly. We are his servants. He is the master, not the other way around.
Well, this message concludes tomorrow with a powerful story I don't want you to miss. That's crosshope.org. Crosshope.org.
For 5.5 years, the church I served is at the foot of the mountain known as Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Stone Mountain probably is the most well-known physical landmark in the Atlanta area. If you've ever been to Atlanta, probably you've at least seen Stone Mountain. It's a beautiful mountain that's 5 miles around at the base. It goes up about 1,600 feet. And it's just a piece of rock, granite, that is just really impressive to see, with the carving of General Lee and Stonewall Jackson and one other Confederate leader on the side of the mountain. Quite a place for people to come and see. When you pull into this park, Stone Mountain Park, you go through the visitor's gate, you pay your money, and the first cross street you come to is a street known as John B. Gordon Avenue. John B. Gordon Avenue. I had no clue when I first moved there who John B. Gordon was until I did some research. Found out that John B. Gordon was a Confederate general who served during the Civil War, went on to become the governor of Georgia, and in 1873 was elected to be the senator, U.S. senator from Georgia. What I didn't know was until I read it was this. In one particular battle, he was leading his men. He was shot 5 times. 5 times before he finally fell off his horse unconscious. The first bullet hit him in his calf. He kept riding his horse. The second bullet hit him in his thigh. He kept on going. It nicked a minor artery in his leg, still kept going. The third bullet hit him in one of his arms. He kept going and using the other arm to lead his men in battle. The fourth bullet hit him in the shoulder. He kept going. But when the fifth bullet hit him, he couldn't tolerate the pain and the blood loss any longer. The fifth bullet hit him in one cheek and went out the other side of his mouth through his jawbone. And that's when General Gordon fell face down off his horse, right into his hat, into the ground. But he survived. Now, you know the year, 1860s, no plastic surgery, no corrective surgery back then. I mean, they just tried to patch you up and keep you from dying, basically. And so General Gordon survived with 2 massive facial wounds, one on right side, one on the left. One was an entry wound, one was an exit wound. And you can imagine how disfigured he was, yet went on to be the governor, went on to be a United States senator. He was in the Senate in one particular meeting in the 1870s. He was speaking toward a bill, the passage of a bill, And another senator stood up without even looking at General Gordon and started speaking against Senator Gordon at the time, speaking against the legislation, whatever the issue was on the table. And according to this historian, this senator turned and looked and locked eyes with General Gordon. And he stopped speaking and he began to weep. And he said, "I forgot about the scar. I forgot about the scar." And he couldn't move on. The next time you and I say, "God owes me," maybe we need to have somebody say, "Have you forgotten the scars in his hands and in his feet and in his brow and in his side?" The next time we're tempted to say, "God owes me big time because of what I've given, what I've sacrificed, my faithful attendance," remember, God owes no one anything. It's all grace. It's all mercy. It's all about the hymn, Amazing Grace. God owes you nothing, but he's given you everything. Would you listen to that again and write it down in your notes? God owes me nothing, but he's given me everything. He's given me life eternal. He's given me forgiveness for my sins. He's given me hope in death, hope in life. He owes me nothing, but he's given me everything. Let's pray together.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday, or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.